Hi, have you heard the good news concerning holiness? If you haven't, you need to, because it will lay to rest your fretting and frustrations concerning if you are holy enough in God's sight to make it into the kingdom of heaven. You know, when it comes to the topic of holiness, most Christians wrestle the scriptures to the destruction of their faith toward God immediately. For example, last night I asked a believer if they were a Christian. She said yes. Then I asked her, Hebrews 12:14 says that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Are you holy? And she said, well, no, I guess not. Therefore, I guess I won't be seeing the Lord. So what's the use? I immediately gave her the word so that she would not wrestle the scriptures to her own destruction. But for the most part, Christians are wrestling the scriptures and the topic of holiness to their own hurt because they are ignorant of the true holiness of God, and they have set out to establish their own holiness according to what their carnal mind dictates what holiness is, and they have not submitted themselves to acknowledge that the holiness of God is only by the new birth, which is when Jesus Christ, God's true holiness, the new creation, was born into our hearts by faith. Yet today, the majority of Christians are mixed up concerning holiness. They have no idea that in the new creation, which Galatians 6:15 says, is the only thing that avails anything before God, that they were created in righteousness and in true holiness in Christ Jesus. That's the believer's new birthday suit before God. It's no longer the flesh which serves the law of sin. It's the Christ in you, the hope of glory, the one who cannot sin because he was born of God, created after God in righteousness and true holiness in us as the new creation. To be holy is to be without sin, and the only part of us that is without sin is the Christ in us, the hope of glory, that new creation. And without him, we cannot see God because he is our holiness, our true holiness, and it is written that without holiness, no man can see God. It simply means that without Jesus, no man shall see the Lord, because he is the only holiness we have or can lay claim to. Holiness is not an activity. Holiness is not a way of life. Holiness is Jesus Christ, and he is our life, according to Colossians 3:3. Jesus said of himself that I am the way. What way? Our highway of holiness, which will get us into heaven. Jesus called himself the truth, and he is our true holiness. Jesus said that he was the life. What kind of life? The only eternally holy life ever to walk the earth. And he gave it to you and I to call ours. As it is written, Christ is our life. So when people want to see your holy life, you point them to Jesus Christ. Don't point to yourself. If anyone asked you the question, are you holy? You tell them by the word. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me is holy. And he is my holiness. Remember, you are not holy by your behavior. You are holy because Jesus Christ is your Savior. I repeat, you are not holy by your behavior. You are holy because Jesus Christ is your Savior, and he is your only claim to holiness. For outside Jesus, there is no holiness, only the filthy rags of our own righteousness. Titus 2:3 says, "Order your behavior as becometh holiness." In other words, if you are a born-again Christian, you are to order your behavior as becometh holiness. But remember and realize that your behavior does not make you holy. I repeat, if you are a believer, you are commanded to order your behavior as becometh holiness. But remember and realize that your behavior does not make you one bit holier than the next believer, because we are holy by the new birth of the one who was after God created in righteousness and in true holiness, and he now dwells in us, that new creation. We are not holy by our behavior. We are holy because of our Savior. Remember that we are not holy by our behavior, because any sinner can behave just as well as any born-again believer can. A sinner can turn the other cheek. He can perform the good deeds that Christians do. He can go to church. He can pray. He can be just as philanthropic as any Christian can. He can be fun to be with. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Muslims, sinners, they all can behave just as well, if not better, than most Christians. But are they holy? No. Because holiness is not by behavior. True holiness before God is by birth. For example, in our natural life, our behavior does not determine our gender of sex. Only our birth does. We are male or female because we are created that way by birth. And no matter how a male behaves, it will never change him into a female. He can have an operation, put on lipstick, false eyelashes, wear a dress, put on false breasts, wear high-heeled shoes, and behave better than any woman. But when you see him, what should you say? Look at that man behaving as a woman. Or look at that man impersonating a woman. You see, even though he behaved or impersonated a woman, it did not change him into a woman. He is still a man. That was determined by his birth. Likewise, if a woman behaves like a man, it does not change the fact that she is a woman. Remember, our behavior does not determine our gender or sex. Only our birth does. And so it is in the Spirit. Our behavior does not determine our holiness. Our new birth does in Christ Jesus. We were created after God in righteousness and true holiness. We are holy because at our new birth, we were created in Christ Jesus. And he is called the Holy One. And we have been created in him. God said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." He did not say, "Try to be holy or do the best you can at being holy." He left no margin for imperfection. When it comes to holiness, true holiness, God does not grade on the curve. Only man does that. Either his Son is your holiness or you have no holiness. Yet, many who are unfamiliar with the Word of God, they will preach to congregations, "It's holiness or hell," and scare the congregations to death. But the holiness they are demanding is good behavior. And it's sure nothing wrong with good behavior. I encourage you to behave and be as good, just as good as you can be. As long as you realize that your best behavior is still filthy rags in the sight of God. And it's not true holiness before God. As a matter of fact, if you are trusting and placing your confidence in your good behavior as if it's making you somewhat more holier before God, then you are in an error of the severest kind, because you are unwittingly being self-righteous by believing that your behavior adds to the holiness of Christ, which covers you. And Jesus cautioned his very disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is the sin of self-righteousness. If you are believing and trusting that your good behavior is making you more holy than the born-again Christian who is not faring so well in his behavior, then you are sending up a stench in God's nostrils, just as those religious leaders in Isaiah 65:5, who, when passing by others, they would say, "Come not near me, for I am holier than thou." And God said of them, and as he says of you, if you're in this category, "These are a stench in my nostrils and as smoke in my eyes." Jesus later said of these people that these are they who trust to themselves that they are righteous. Friend, if you've ever had a stench in your nose or smoke in your eyes, then you know that it is not a pleasant feeling. Well, neither is God pleased when believers think themselves to be somewhat when they are nothing. Without Jesus, we can do nothing, and without Jesus, we have nothing. He is the only holiness that we can lay any claim to, and he dwells in us in the new creation. There is also someone else who dwells in us that is not so holy. As a matter of fact, he has not one shred of holiness in him, nor does he desire to be holy. Do you know who he is? He's called the old creation, the old man, the flesh. And he dwells in our physical bodies, fighting against the Christ in us. These two creations, the old creation, which is of the flesh, and the new creation, which is of the Spirit, are complete opposites. And they are at war against each other in our physical body. They never compromise with each other. They never give in to the other. They both are solid states in us, warring against the other, so that we cannot do the things which we would. The Christ in us is our holiness, as discussed earlier. He is the one that cannot sin because he is born of God and he serves the law of God continually. While this old creation, the flesh, called the old man which dwells in our body, serves the law of sin, Romans 7:25. In the flesh dwells no good thing, Romans 7:18. The flesh profits nothing, John 6:63. And the flesh shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven, 1 Corinthians 15:50. That's why Philippians 3:3 says that we should have no confidence in the flesh. We have no holiness in and of ourselves. The sufficiency of our holiness is of the Lord, for the Lord is our holiness. Yet, many Christians are still fussing and fretting with one another, trying to attain men's standard of holiness by wearing long dresses or not wearing makeup or not going to the movies or not working on Sunday and such the like. Their lists are endless. You can even listen to contemporary Christian songs as they condemn themselves in the area of holiness because they lack knowledge concerning holiness. A musician, an artist that I dearly love and respect, had an unscriptural song out called "I'm a Stranger to Your Holiness." Even though the scripture plainly states that if you are a stranger to holiness, then you will not be entering into the kingdom of heaven. Yet, through the lack of knowledge of the word, many subscribe to that feeling because when their flesh nature rises up and serves the law of sin, they think that it is them that is doing the sinning, when it states in Romans chapter 7 plainly that when the born-again believer sins, it is no more him that doeth it, but it is the flesh that serves the law of sin, and we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of Christ, the new creation, the new man, which is the Holy Spirit, dwells in us. Again, we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Spirit, dwells in us. The flesh is never holy. It never serves the law of God. It only serves the law of sin, and there is no good thing in it. And you have been separated from it and joined unto the new creation, created after God in righteousness and in true holiness. Therefore, since the old man, the flesh, could not serve God, God crucified the old man, the flesh, and told you and I to reckon the flesh and its deeds dead by faith, because God destroyed him at the cross. We are to see him as dead, even though he wars against the Christ within us, our hope of glory, the new creation, the new man, the redeemer of our souls. Just remember this, that there are three reasons why you are holy. Number one, your soul has been joined to the undefilable new creation, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. Number two, you are holy because the Holy Spirit dwells in you in the new wineskin or the new creation, and it's your holiness. And the third reason why you are holy is because our Heavenly Father has made us all partakers of His holiness. Hebrews 12:8 through 10. Yes, we have partaken of the divine nature of Christ in us, the hope of glory, by the grace of God. So, when someone who thinks that they are living a life holier than thou asks you the question, "Are you holy?" you tell them by the word, "Yet not I, but Christ which lives in me," because Jesus is the answer. Jesus said of himself that "I am the way." What way, Jesus? He will tell you, "I am the way of holiness," as mentioned in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8, as it is written, "A highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness, and the unclean shall not pass over it." That's not us, because we have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and what God has cleansed, we are never to call unclean. "But it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, they shall not err or make a mistake therein." I'm so glad he included that verse. "And no lion shall be there," no devil shall be upon this highway, "nor any ravenous beast," that's the natural man, who without God is as the brute beast of the field. "No ravenous beast shall go thereupon, they shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk thereon," and we have been redeemed by the blood. The scripture goes on to say, "And the ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. You know why? Because they are in Jesus Christ, the only true holiness there is. We can no longer sing that we are strangers to holiness, for we are the ransomed of the Lord, and God knows us by name, the name of Jesus, the one who is our holiness. Now, isn't that good news?